So I've been looking this week at Matthew chapter 13. And again, Matthew chapter 13 starts off with the parable of the sower. It explains that parable. So then Jesus gives the parable. Then he explains the parable to the disciples. Then he goes on and shares the parable of the wheat and the tares. And then again, we see in verse number 31, he talks about the kingdom of heaven is like a mustard seed. Then you go down a few more verses. Verse number 33, another parable he spoke to them. The kingdom of heaven is like a woman who took and hid 3 measures of meal, and it was leavened. Go down a few more verses, and you see he talks again about the parable of the tares explained. And then in verse number 44, again, the kingdom of heaven is like treasure hidden in a field. Go down a few more verses. Verse number 45, again, the kingdom of heaven is like a merchant seeking beautiful pearls. And then finally go down to verse number 47. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a dragnet that was cast into the sea and gathered some of every kind. So we can see that Jesus, throughout this entire chapter, 13th chapter of Matthew, he's telling us about the kingdom of heaven. It starts off by just showing us the parable of the sower, the seed of the word of God. Goes on to explain the parable of the seed, the word, the wheat, and the tares, and then builds upon that so that we understand what the kingdom of God is. Now, as we looked about the last couple of days, the kingdom of God is that spiritual realm. Again, if you look throughout the New Testament, you'll see, and again, I have a Vines expository dictionary that's attached to the back of my Bible. And so it has a lot of words, including the word kingdom in there. And it gives Vines's expository definition of words like kingdom. And one of the things that Vines, and I've looked at other commentaries and other Strong's as well, and a lot of what you see is there's a delineation between the kingdom of heaven and the kingdom of God. Now you see Matthew used the word kingdom of heaven time and time again. He uses it in this chapter numerous times. Matthew uses it in his book, I forget how many times. He always says the kingdom of heaven. Other places we see the kingdom of God. Vines and others will tell us that there's a difference. You can't use kingdom of heaven and kingdom of God interchangeably. Now there's times when they're interchangeable. The kingdom of heaven is always part of the kingdom of God, but the kingdom of God is not always can't be considered the same thing as the kingdom of heaven at all times. So they say you can't use it interchangeably. However, as I said yesterday, there is a place in Matthew chapter 5 where Jesus, as he is speaking on the Sermon of the Mount, where he refers to the kingdom of God, and you read that same thing later, and Jesus uses the same terminology in Luke, but he says kingdom of heaven. So he uses them interchangeably, so we can use them, to some degree, we can use them interchangeably as well. But what Jesus is trying to show us in these verses, in Matthew chapter 13, is what the kingdom of God is. Because he keeps saying, the kingdom of God is like. As we looked at yesterday, we can't see the kingdom. We can't see the spiritual realm. We can only see the natural realm. But Jesus wants us to have an understanding. And with our limited, finite minds, it's really impossible for us in this flesh to fully understand all the things of the spiritual realm, to fully understand heaven, to fully understand what's being talked about with kingdom. But Jesus wants us to have an understanding so we can walk in the power and the authority that is in the kingdom. And that's why he says the kingdom of God is like. So he's given us examples so that we get an understanding of the kingdom of God. And here's a very simple way to look at the kingdom of God as the kingdom of heaven as it's being described here. Because the kingdom of heaven, again, is that spiritual realm. In the spiritual realm, Jesus has already provided everything that you need for your life. By his sacrifice, he's provided all things. And everything that is done is already done and established. Jesus doesn't have to go do anything more for you. If you've got a need in your life today, you don't have to ask Jesus to get up off of his seat next to the Father, get up and come heal me or come do this for me, because the work is done. Jesus completed the work and he sat down at the right hand of the Father. The work is done. He doesn't have to get up and do any more work. The work is done. Everything is completed in the spiritual realm. Everything is done and established for us in the spiritual realm. But in this natural realm, this realm that we live in because our flesh ties us to this natural realm, in this natural realm, there are things that are contrary to the Word of God, contrary to the promises. And as we speak the word of God and we speak the word of in faith, and as we stand in faith and speak that word in faith, what we're doing is we're bringing those spiritual realm realities, all of those things that Jesus has already established for us, we're bringing them from the spiritual realm here into this natural realm, where those spiritual realm realities, which are the greater realities, they're eternal. Everything that's here in the natural is not. It's a lesser. It's a reality, but it's not the greater reality. So as we stand in faith and speak the word in faith, we bring those spiritual realm realities that Jesus has already established for us from the spiritual realm into this natural realm to displace the natural realm realities that are opposed to the word of God. So when Jesus is talking about the kingdom of God, he's wanting us to see into, he's wanting to give us a glimpse into the spiritual realm. He wants us to see those things that he's done for us. He wants us to see what's established for us. He wants us to see the power that is given to us. You know, one of my all-time favorite verses is in Ephesians. And Ephesians chapter 3 gives such a great explanation of, well, I'll just read it to you. Ephesians chapter 3, verse number 20. Now to him, speaking about Jesus, who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we can ask or think. So what can Jesus do? What is your need? Well, Jesus can do, who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above. I don't know about you, but I can think of a lot of great things. I mean, I can think of a lot of great things that I can think of a lot of supernatural, miraculous things that I need and I want to see in my life or in the lives of others. Jesus is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we could ask or think. But, and this is the part people tend to overlook when they read this verse, according to the power that works in us. It's his power, but it's his power that has to work through us. It's the power of Jesus Christ, but that power works through us. This is where our faith comes in. And this is where we have to understand the things that are done already by Jesus Christ for us in the spiritual realm, so that as that power works through us, that can move through us and establish those things here in our lives. It's imperative that we understand Jesus has done all these things for us. Why? Because he loves you. He's provided every promise that's here in this word. Every promise you can find here, from the very first words of Genesis all the way through to Revelation, every promise that's in here, he's established it for you, and he's made that promise for you, and he's provided that promise for you because he loves you. Love is his motivation. He's done it because he loves you. And we receive it in that love, but we must always remember he's done it for us because he loves us. But remember, when we see these things from the spiritual realm taking place or manifested here in the natural realm, it is to be done to glorify Jesus. So when you see the supernatural, if you hear us during the prayer closet praising Jesus for something that took place, thanking him, it's because everything that is done, we always glorify Jesus. It always brings glory to the name of Jesus. That's what's supposed to be. So Jesus is here in Matthew chapter 13 trying to get us to see what the kingdom of God is. The kingdom of God is all of these things. The kingdom of God, in perhaps an oversimplification, but it gives us an idea. It's the spiritual realm. It's all those. It's the kingdom is where the king is. And this is why Jesus says to us in the Gospels, Jesus says, when he was confronted by the Pharisees, and they were asking, well, where is the kingdom? And Jesus said, the kingdom is within you. The kingdom is in men. The kingdom is in us. Where the king is, that's where the kingdom is. So because Jesus dwells within us, his kingdom is in us. Since Jesus is in us, the kingdom of God is in us. All of the things of the spiritual realm are in us. Why? Because we have the Holy Spirit of God himself dwelling within us. It's not our power. It's always his power. It's not anything that we're doing. It's what he's already done. We're just bringing it into this reality to glorify him. He wants us to see the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God, here's the oversimplification I was starting to tell you. The kingdom of God is when we see those spiritual realm realities. It's when we see those spiritual realm realities that we can't see with the natural eyes. When we see those spiritual realm realities here, in the natural realm, that is the kingdom of God. It's the kingdom of God here. Now, why isn't prevalent and everywhere? Well, because there's a lot of places the kingdom is always where the king is. The king is in us. But there's many places, many people, there's much of this world that is in rebellion against God. It's still his kingdom. It's still the kingdom of God, but it's not And here's how you can differentiate sometimes. It's not the kingdom of heaven. The kingdom of God is in us. And we bring that kingdom through us. But this world is in rebellion. But the power that is in us, he that is in us is greater than he that is in the world. So now let's look at some of the things that Jesus says about the kingdom of God. In verse number 31, he says, the kingdom of heaven is like a mustard seed which a man took and sowed in the field. So the kingdom of heaven is like a seed. And this ties into exactly what Jesus was talking about to start off this entire chapter, as he gave the parable of the sower and the parable of the seed. And he talked about the seed, and we know the soil is what's different. That's our hearts. The seed is the word of God. The seed is always the same. So building upon that, and he also had the parable of the tares in the wheat. Building upon that, he said, the kingdom of God, the kingdom of heaven, is like a mustard seed, which a man took and sowed into his field, which indeed is the least of all the seeds, but when it's grown, it's greater than the herbs and becomes a tree, so that the birds of the air come and nest on its branches. The kingdom of God, it might seem, you see, we talk about the kingdom of God a lot. We hear references about the kingdom of God, the kingdom of heaven. We talk about it, but many of us don't see it in our lives. We don't see the manifestation of it. Again, if the kingdom of God, the kingdom of heaven, if that is truly seeing those spiritual realm realities evidenced as realities here in our natural lives, it's when you're getting looks into, it's like the veil separates and you get to look inside the spiritual realm and you can see those brief glimpses of the spiritual realm here in the natural realm. Most of us really don't experience a lot of that. The kingdom of God, it just takes the seed, it just takes the word, and the kingdom is established. If I will speak the word of God over my situation, to one word over my situation, and believe it. That one little seed, that one little word, this is the power of the kingdom of God. It becomes a tree, which impacts the lives of others. He goes on and says, the kingdom of heaven is like leaven, which a woman took and hid 3 measures of meal until it was all leavened. Anytime you look in the Bible and the Bible talks about, anytime you see the Bible talking about leaven, especially in the New Testament, leaven is always associated with sin. So what's being said here, and again, you have to take all this in context. Another parable he spoke, the kingdom of heaven is like leaven, which a woman took and hid 3 measures of meal until it was all leavened. There is an enemy, and the enemy does one too, and this ties directly to the parable of the tares and the wheat, which were just a little bit before this in the same chapter of Matthew chapter 13. And this is what Jesus is telling us in this section in Matthew chapter 13. This is what Jesus is talking about, how there will be tares. The enemy does bring that which looks like spiritual, looks like the truth, but is not. He will bring his agents even into the body of Christ for the purposes of trying to confuse, trying to dissuade, trying to disappoint, trying to discourage, trying to, if you will, alter the word of God or minimize the effectiveness of the word of God. The kingdom of heaven is like leaven which a woman took and hid the 3 measures of meal, and it was all leaven. We need to make sure that we are, just as he said in the parable of the tares and the wheat, we need to make sure that in the fields that we see, in the fields of us, we need to make sure that those things, the leaven of the world, because we are surrounded by the world. We are surrounded by the things of the world. You are being influenced by things that are in opposition to the word of God every day of your life. You see it on the news. You hear it in people you just talk to on the streets. You see it on TV. You know, everything in the world is contrary to the things of the word of God. And so you're getting that leaven put into you all the time. You're getting that which is contrary. You're getting that which is contrary to the word and that which is the enemy into us all the time. And the enemy wants to put that leaven in there to spoil our faith and to spoil the things of God. But we have the kingdom of God. And even one little mustard seed, just take one seed, one word, stand on it in faith, and it's stronger than all things. But we need to make sure that we are keeping the soil of our hearts, the soil of our hearts and our beings pure, cleansed, not allowing those tares to take root. And when we see them, we remove them. because we want to make sure that we are living examples of Jesus Christ and that the kingdom is working through us. We'll look at the other examples as we conclude this tomorrow.